The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some of our children are becoming more capable to fix a situation that they've created. For example, if they spill something, they know that they need to clean it up. They made a mess, they need to make things right. They're also trying to understand complex issues like injustice and forgiveness. If someone wrongs one of their siblings, they've learned to ask for forgiveness. And then the child extending forgiveness will sometimes say, "It's okay." To where my wife will quickly interject, "No, it's not okay, but you can still forgive them." So rather than brushing off the wrong, they're learning to acknowledge that an infraction has occurred. It should not happen again. But with repentance, we can still find forgiveness. That relationships can still find reconciliation. Now, one of our children have learned cheap grace early on. They do something wrong, they break something, and they said, "Hey, I said I'm sorry." And they expect no consequences. But that's a sermon for another day. When something is broken, we want it to be fixed. And when someone is responsible for breaking something, we want accountability. At the heart of our first lesson from Jeremiah is the realization that leaders have broken the covenant. And we see in our society today that we've lost a sense of a social contract, a social covenant, to care and support one another. All in the name of rugged individualism, we feel as if we're on our own. That contract, that covenant, has been broken. Now, the covenant we have with God is communal. Whenever we break that covenant with God, it doesn't just impact us on an individual level. It has effects on the community at large. The Lutheran reformers were quick to point out how people were suffering when abuses by the church leaders of the 16th century were seeking to serve the interests of leaders and the institution and not the interests of the people. And as a result, people were not hearing the gospel. They were burdened rather than being comforted. And we can see the same violation in the institutions of today, in our nation, and around the world. If we choose power in this world, if we choose to accumulate and dominate, we are then paying lip service to God, and we are devoted to something else. Yet at the heart of the Lutheran Christian witness, the heart of what the Reformation is about, is the ability to rejoice in the true freedom that we receive in Jesus Christ. It must start with acknowledging that something is broken. Ourselves, the world. See, I fear that in an age that on the one hand wants to celebrate progress, or on the other hand wants to live in the good old days that never really existed, both perspectives that we see in our society today don't want to be honest with the reality that something is broken. We must look in the mirror and be honest about where we fall short. Our temptation is to rationalize. Our temptation is to downplay the severity, to do what one of my kids has simply done and give a lip service apology. We must acknowledge the truth if we're able to truly know what it means to be free in Christ. we believe in original sin, then we cannot deny the systemic realities of that sin in our society, throughout our history, in our nation, and throughout the world. Like our individual sins, some of what we want to ignore, those systemic realities. Others want to rationalize it. Some want to downplay it. And others simply don't want to acknowledge that it even exists. But pick your ism. Racism, sexism, classism, so on and so forth. Social inequality is real. Overt and covert harm has been done and continues to exist. And as Christians who know the truth of original sin, we cannot deny this. As we hear in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Remember that from the confession in the green hymnal? But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we violate our covenant with God, it has communal implications, not just individual. Something has been broken, and it needs to be fixed. Now, when milk or water is spilled, we can just wipe it up. But when we look in the mirror, and we acknowledge as an individual and as a community that there is sin in the world, that we've fallen short, when we realize that there are indeed consequences for what we broke, when we acknowledge our brokenness and our sin against God and neighbor, that is when the law convicts us. But here's the good news. God does not leave us there. God does not leave us imprisoned to that conviction. The law points us to Jesus. It shows us the way to freedom. Some politicians will say that they alone can fix the problems of our society. But again, that's an illusion of progress or a promise to go back to the past. Jesus alone is the one who fixes it. It is Christ that all things are being made new. And it is in Christ that we have hope for a future redemption of all things. What's in your bank account does not give you true freedom. Your social status does not give you true freedom. Your political views does not give you true freedom. See, there's a bit of confusion in our gospel lesson today because the assumption is that those whom Jesus are speaking to, they think as descendants of Abraham, that's enough. But that freedom that comes from God does not come from a status that is earned or ascribed. When we do not see freedom coming from Jesus, we then reduce the significance of Jesus substantially. Some Christians have reduced Jesus to simply being a great moral teacher. Others have reduced Christianity to just being about doing good and being good. And when we reduce the significance of Christ, it allows the influences of the world and the statuses that we accumulate and the views that we hold to bring us true freedom. We essentially become functional atheists. Even for those that belong to congregations, we can easily become functional atheists in our society today because we're not relying on the living God day in and day out. We're relying on other things. We're relying on this world and its empty promises to give us freedom. But through repentance, there's an invitation, that invitation that comes from the law, an invitation to immerse ourselves in God's new creation. The sinner wants so desperately to dwell in the old creation, where our infractions and sins can be minimized and rationalized away collectively and individually. But the new creation that's underway is inviting us into a true freedom, where we don't remain willfully ignorant to reality and are invited into a new reality to see what God wants in the kingdom that is here and that is to come. Back to my children when they sin against each other. One says sorry, the other says it's okay, and my wife interjects and says, no, it's not okay. but you forgive them. To confess, to know that we knowingly and unknowingly have caused pain to our loved ones, our neighbors, and for God to say, I love you, I forgive you, I'm not letting you go, I'm not giving up on you. That should not get us to minimize our attitude towards sin. It should invoke a different response we have to the love of God. That should produce a response from this love that we receive that's unconditional, that wants us to reflect that love back out into the world. When we are convicted by the law, when we confess our sin, we no longer want to dwell in that sin, but we want to dwell in that love that we're receiving from God through Jesus Christ, who makes all things new. That it's through the cross that Christ loves you. People need to hear that. In a world where there is evil, where there is pain and suffering due to sin, God's love shines through God's people because Christ came and entered into the darkness and took on the cross so that love could be proclaimed to all the world. And it's the mission and witness of the church, dwelling in God's new creation, that like Christ, we will also go to those dark places and spaces in this world so that others may experience the light and love of Christ through us. That it's possible that we can hear the truth about ourselves and then receive the truth about God as well, and then live a life as Christians in response to that love each and every day. When we turn to Christ crucified, when we hear the truth, but also rejoice in that truth, that God's love gives us new and eternal life. We're then no longer worried about ourselves. We're no longer worried on whether or not we have a place in God's household. We're then free not to be consumed with ourselves. Truth of our God who loves you. The truth about our God who has a place for you. For through Christ, the kingdom is now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.